fix my camera. I don't know the phone. I guess that's good. Welcome, 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 YouTube. It's your boy, Antoine Campbell. We're going live today. We got a very, very interesting video today where we're going to be talking about the fastest way, you know, to get your first deal, some things you should be doing, some tips you should be doing, and some resources that you can use to get your first deal. I think the biggest problem a lot of people face is that they can't get over the hump to get the proof of concept down pat. Like, they struggle with figuring out when to hire the VAs or how to hire the VAs. Then they struggle to figure out which list to pull. And then they struggle to figure out, you know, which area that they should be in. Like, you got different sides of towns. And then when they finally do get a deal on a contract, they struggle to know how to dispo the deal. So we're going to go through everything step by step to really show you exactly what we do as a company to really get fine deals and know which markets to go in. So first of all, before you even start, you got to figure out what's your point of doing this, why you want to do it, and you know, how long you should be waiting on your success. So I tell people, get this between 6 and 10 months to really be successful. If you can't wait 6 to 10 months, then I strongly encourage you to don't do it. And while you're waiting in 6 to 10 months, do something else too that can make you money every single day to keep feeding your operation. Before you know it, you're going to feel like your operation is a money pit. You're wasting money. You're spending money on VAs. You're spending money on lists. You're spending money on software. You're doing this. You're doing that. And you're going to feel like it's not worth it. But I'm here to tell you that it will be worth it if you stay consistent, you stick to the plan. And next thing you know, you get a $20,000-$25,000 check and you only spent $3,000-$4,000 over the last 2-3 months and setting up your operation. It's definitely worth it. So the easiest thing to do is identify where you want to set up shop. You know, most people, that's why I love virtual wholesaling and the model of virtual wholesaling, because you can literally set up shop anywhere in the United States. And if you're not happy with the results or you're not happy with the areas that you're hitting, you can literally pull a list and add a few phone numbers to your dialer and be in a new market within a few minutes. So that's the reason why I like it. So you want to make sure you're focused on areas that you can, when you finally get a deal, you can easily sell it. And then when you finally get a deal, it's in a desirable place. So if you can go to like Realtor.com, Redfin.com, Zillow.com, just look and see what homes are selling. Like, to see the quality of the homes, check through it. You can know when a house is fixed up or if it's been renovated by a flipper, new paint everywhere, new appliances. Mostly flippers, they put kitchens and bathrooms in houses, maybe carpet. And if you just look around and see that, then you want to take a note of what zip codes that you see these houses in. And then you just want to go and see how long these houses have been sitting on the market. You know, is it like more than 120 days? Is it 60 days? Is it 30 days? And once you get that medium that, hey, I'm going to find a market where houses don't sit on there more than 80 days, then you just add up all the zip codes you find and then figure out what zip codes you want to start off with. Right? You can start off with a county, but like I said, at the beginning, if you don't have a lot of resources and you don't have time to call a big list and you don't want to pay a VA, you know, like 40 hours a week, then maybe starting off with a few small zip codes would definitely make sense, because you only need a few people to say yes to really make this thing shake. So once you figure out the zip code, you're going to pull your list. The easiest list to start off with, in my opinion, is a long-term owner who has equity. You know, they had the house for so long, they got equity, they're flexible enough to sell at a discount. I will tell you to start off with a pre-foreclosure list, but these people are going through foreclosure. There's a lot of emotional ups and downs, and you got to be really prepared for it from a sales standpoint. So your lowest hanging fruit is either a tired landlord or a long-term senior owners. Once you pull that list, you know, you just want to make sure that you get a skip trace good If you need help with skill tracing, reach out to us. We have a bunch of resources to help you with that. And once you pull that list, you want to make sure yourself or VA is actually calling that list every single day, at least 5 to 6 days a week. You can give it a break one day out of the week, maybe a Sunday or Monday or Friday. Pick one day out of the week where you get that list a break. But every day you want to be calling that list for at least an hour or two. And you want to be seeing if people are interested. And this is the difference between me and a lot of people. I'm not trying to see if they're interested in selling, right? And I know that sounds silly. I'm trying to see, are they open to receiving a cash offer on a property? And once I get, you see, the thing about sales is it's baby commitments, it's baby steps, it's micro commitments. Once I get them to see if they're open to receiving a cash offer on a property, then the negotiation starts. Then I'm talking to them, asking them more about the property, asking them, did they make any repairs on the property? How long they've been there? What's driving them to want to receive an offer? Besides the fact that I'm actually going to give them an offer, what are some other underlying reason that you may not see? So that's when great sales skills come into play. Now, a lot of people out the gate going to tell you you don't need sales skills to close deals, but I'm here to tell you the more you invest in understanding how to communicate with people and then negotiate with people, you're going to get better at your job. See, a lot of people jump straight into this and don't know how to communicate and negotiate, and they wonder why everyone's telling them no. Now, they have a house they want to maybe get an offer on and potentially sell, but you got to understand how to work with them and talk to them. Not just, you know, talking to them and then leading them to say, yeah, I think about it. Give me a second. That's what sales training is for, to teach you how to prepare for the I think about this. Give me a second. Even like in our training, we teach you about stalling tactics. Like even in like regular sales or just everyday life, there are people out there that are stalling you right now. Send me more information. Send me a website. Give me like, you know, they're just giving you excuses to not say no right now. See, when you're talking to homeowners, you want to let them know that, listen, we're not a perfect fit for everybody. And I can understand that, and I respect that. So at any point in the time where you feel, any point in time on this call where you feel like I'm wasting your time, don't hesitate to let me know and we can start from here. So just being knowledgeable of people's time and being respectful of their time will take you a lot further on a sales call. So once you start talking to homeowners and you get the rhythm of, hey, this is what these homeowners feel like, this is what they're going through, you're going to know out the gate that you have to lead with empathy and understanding, and you can't worry about yourself. Right? Your job is to solve people's problems. So most people's problems when you're talking to them, they used to be able to afford this house. They're going through a divorce, but the wife don't want to pay the mortgage anymore. They used to have a great job. They got laid off. Now the job isn't good anymore. You have to know and understand these circumstances so you can put together a good offer that makes sense for you. You know what I mean? If you're putting together, okay, mediocre offers, or you're talking gibberish on the phone and it's not resonating with your sellers, you're not going to get many contracts, right? What's the difference between someone who gets contracts and someone who doesn't? The person that pays attention, that's attention to details, to take great notes, and that make offers that solve the seller's common objections and problems. So you're going to get things like, how much are you offering me? How much are you willing to pay me? And you got to know these answers, and you got to be quick about it. You got to be sure of yourself. And at the beginning, it's going to be tough. But once you be sure of yourself and you be confident on the phones, you're going to get a lot of people that's willing to work with you, that's willing to take a chance on you. So once you get put together a great offer, you have to put yourself in such a position where they want to sign, you know? But you can't just force somebody or rush somebody to sign. Selling your house is like one of the biggest things that you're going to do financially for yourself. You know, I think the house is like some of people's biggest assets. Like, you know, a car, a house, like some of the biggest assets that people are going to own. So you got to respect that and understand it. Once you know that, hey, you know, this is not an easy decision for someone to sell me their house, and you respect that, it's going to put you on a whole nother level mentally. That's just my opinion. Once I understand that, oh, this is their biggest prized possession, and I have to respect that as such, the way I talk to people and approach people on the phones is completely different. I might even open up, like when we do our calls and just, like, not go live because we respect people's privacy, but maybe we call some calls, let me edit people so, you know, you don't know who you're talking to. And you can see exactly how we treat and talk to people, because that's the biggest thing in getting your first deal is knowing how to take care of people and treat them. And then once you get that deal and you get that house on a contract, that's where everything begins, because now you have to show these people the process. So if you're brand new and you don't understand what's next, they're going to look at you as you're supposed to know what you're doing, and you're controlling the situation, and I put my trust and respect into you. So you have to make sure that you have a step-by-step process. When we do deals, we used to use this form called congratulations. Thank you so much for working with us. And on that congratulations form, we just break down what's next. And we're going to send your information over to the title company. The title company is going to reach out to you to start up escrow and get some paperwork files to get permission to, you know, start the process of selling your house. And any missing or important documents they need, get it back to them as quickly as possible, because everything they ask you for, if you don't return it, it can slow down the sales process. So just being very clear and precise with your homeowners, letting them know exactly what to expect from working with you will take you to a whole nother level. So that's the biggest thing. And then once you do that, you just rinse and repeat. So figuring out what to offer people in their houses, get you a calculator. Find somebody that has a great calculator that you may like. We have a calculator. There's no pressure. Reach out to us and figure out how can you buy that from us. Or find somebody that the style that you like. There's a lot of people that teach acquisitions. If you need help with acquisition, reach out to me. I'll show you exactly what I know about acquisition. But there's a lot of rock stars in this business that's going to teach you how to do deals. And then, like I said, once you understand the area and you really study it, you will be a pro at doing acquisitions. Now, another tip is to sign up for like a Redfin and then put your search criteria on Redfin. So every day you're getting these deals and these houses sent to you to the point you can see what's going on to the MLS, and you can really keep a pulse on what stuff's selling for, so you can have an idea of what these type of houses are selling for that you're marketing to. So the last biggest thing I see people struggle is they're trying to scale this big autonomous operation where they don't have to do no deals on their own. They want to have all these VAs working for them. And listen, I get it. We set that up. We do that for clients. But I'm here to tell you, you have to be hands-on in your business. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to learn the processes. You need to learn the SOPs. You need to learn how to lead people and talk to people. So set expectations so you can know how to measure people's work and performance. And once you do that, you're going to have a really good operation. You know, most people fail in real estate wholesaling is because they're looking at it strictly from what they can make, right? The money, oh, I can do two deals a month and make 50 G's, I'm good. Not understanding that there's a lot of moving components and parts that go into this. And that's why, unfortunately, 85-90% of people who get into this business end up leaving right out, like after 8 months, because they thought that they've seen a guy on YouTube and they've seen a guy on TikTok and Instagram that it's going to be all roses and peaches, and it's not. So when you're trying to get your first deal, you got to know that it's going to be hard work. It's going to be a lot of sweat. It's going to be a lot of effort. You're going to spend money. You're going to be negotiating with a lot of people, and you're dealing with people's problems. At the end of the day, people are going through a lot of things. And the last list that I recommend is probably like a pain point list. Once you get on the phone and you talk to enough people and you feel good about it, then you can start dealing with like the pre-foreclosures, the divorce list, the tax delinquent list, and start calling them and getting these deals under contract. And just create your formula, right? And simultaneously, as you're doing deals, you should be building your cash buyers list. So that way, when you finally get a deal on a contract, you won't be struggling to figure out what the cash buyers will pay for it. And now, you know, your 30 days are up and the seller's like, hey, I thought we were supposed to close this week. And you're like, well, I don't know. I don't know. So you don't want to come off like an amateur and a person don't know what they're doing, because at the end of the day, you presented yourself as a professional buyer. So you got to act accordingly, even when you feel like that's not where you, you know, where you're going in your business, or things have been, you know, not going in the direction that you plan. So that's all I have for you guys. Hopefully you guys learned something from this video. It's not all fancy and roses. We're not trying to make it look pretty. There's no magic potion. I hope you don't throw out and come in and say, hey, this is the new way. No, it's straight up understanding the areas that you want to market to, pull the list right, load it in your dialer, and hit the phones for 6 days a week. Talk to people, have quality conversations. The majority of the contracts you're going to get under contract will be based off your follow-up. And if you're lacking in follow-up, know how to reach out to people, talking to people, build rapport, really master follow-up, would put you in a situation where you can get more deals on the contract. Ideally, 2 to 3 deals a month should be a target, because that's like 6 or 7 That being said, if you need anything, you need to hire a virtual assistant, or if you just want to work with me and get your business set up, we have a program called Business in a Box. We could definitely help you out. If you've been struggling, you haven't closed the first deal, just book a call with me and my team. Put your real information in the call. We have a filtering. If you put anything that's not real, we know who you are. So put your information in there, and we'll take the call and figure out what we can do to help you get to the next level. Other than that, I'll talk to you guys probably tomorrow. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. But you need me, book a call with me and my team. We'll be there to help you. Like I said, if you need a VA, don't hesitate. If you need data, if you feel like you've been struggling, just book a call to figure out what we can do to help you. Other than that, see you on the next one. Appreciate you. It's your boy, Anton Campbell. Follow me on Instagram. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to my channel. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.